Romans chapter 12, and we'll read through that. Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. We talked about that last week, a renewed mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And let's say a word of prayer. Lord, I thank you so much for this opportunity to give this lesson, and I'm just doing my best to preach what you've given me and what you laid on my heart. And I pray that you just speak to hearts this morning, mine included. Help us as we hear from the perspective of the emotions and realize the role that our emotions play in our soul and how they work together with our mind and our will and our heart. Just the way you've designed us is your creation. It's a beautiful thing. And we ask that we just would know more about you today through this lesson. And we love you and we thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. And as last week we heard from the character Mr. Mind, we're going to hear from Mr. Emotion this morning. Hello, everyone. I am Mr. Emotion. I agree that Mr. Mind is much smarter than I, as he has the ability to think for himself. And it is also true that I am the weakest and most vulnerable member of the soul, as my reactions are very easily swayed by many different sources. I am influenced by Mr. Mind as he thinks the thoughts in his, quote, fishbowl, as he said, of his brain. As he said, I can become sad, angry, scared, or excited, depending on what he thinks about. I am influenced by the actions and meditations of Mr. Will. I am also influenced by the emotions of other souls. However, though I am weak and vulnerable, I must point out that my role in the soul should not be taken lightly. In my frailty, I am still just as important as the other two members. All three of us were uniquely designed by our Creator with a divine purpose. And what makes me unique and different from Mr. Mind and Mr. Will is that I am the only member of the soul visible to others. My divine purpose is to be an outward representation of the whole soul. And there is a huge weight of responsibility that comes with the position I am in, as comes with any divine purpose from the Creator. When others see me, they see the whole soul. And if you want to know what is going on inside other people, their emotions should tell you. And this is why this is the way the Creator designed it. Sometimes, however, people are scared to let their emotions show, but they have to realize that emotions are communication. In fact, Mr. Will especially forgets this sometimes as he uses me to fake an emotion to hide how he is really feeling, as he does not enjoy confrontation. And this has gotten him into trouble many times before. Let me give you an example, and I'm sure Mr. Will speak to this as well. There are times when Will must surrender himself to do the will of others, especially the will of the Creator. But because he likes to be in control, the surrender is no easy thing. And when he fights against this surrender, he feels miserable. And as a result, I should show myself as miserable. But Will, who has control over me, will sometimes force me to give a show of happiness, so others won't see that he is really in a conflict. Or he will force me to display anger, as if to put the blame on others for his own actions. But as Jesus said, the truth shall make you free. So as long as Mr. Will uses me to display the correct emotion, even if it is one he does not want to see, it will lead him to conviction and confession and help him do the right thing. Do you see why I am so vulnerable? I have no control over myself and can be manipulated very easily. But allow me to speak for a few moments on an area of influence I am under that was intentionally designed by our Creator. It is the influence that we and other souls have on each other. When we interact with other souls, in most cases, I tend to match their feelings. The joy of others generally brings joy to me, and the sadness of others can make me sad. In the book of Proverbs, Solomon tells us that someone who sings songs to a heavy heart is like taking away their garment in cold weather. It is uncomfortable, and it doesn't make sense. And I think what Solomon is trying to tell us is simply, rejoice with those who rejoice, and mourn with those who mourn. If someone is sad, as shown by their emotion, and I come in all happy and jubilant, rejoicing that I don't have the problems that they do, they will feel like we don't care about their problems, and they will be driven away and not be encouraged. But if we meet them where they are at and share in their grief, they will be encouraged that they are not alone, and this will help influence their will to trust that their Creator will see them through. And on the other hand, if someone else is rejoicing and I show them disdain because we are jealous of their blessings, which happens when Mr. Will and Mr. Mind don't listen to the Holy Spirit, they can be discouraged and lose their joy and peace in what God has done for them. This is why it is very important for Mr. Will to always be truthful and allow me to display the correct emotions. Another source of influence over me is the work of the enemy that Mr. Mind mentioned, but I am also influenced by the work of the Creator. Truth be told, I can have correct feelings about things and incorrect feelings about things. Correct or incorrect feelings all depend on which voice Mr. Will is listening to. I can be influenced by the work of the enemy if Will allows the products of the enemy to be seen through the eye door, we talked about, and heard through the ear door. The longer Will focuses on the works of the enemy, he pretends it is a good thing that the enemy has offered. And it is never good, and I say pretend because through the conscience of Mr. Mind, Will knows it is not good. And if Will pretends it is good, I soon, too, have a good feeling about it. The good feeling I have then really begins to fog Mr. Will's view of the truth, and it throws Mr. Mind for a loop as well. But as long as Mr. Will listens to the right voice, as we talked about, that's the Spirit, and focuses on his creation and his plan, I will always have bad feelings about the work of the enemy, as I should. And next week, you'll hear from a close cousin of mine named Mr. Hart. And well, as long as he and Mr. Will work closely together to love what God loves and hate what God hates, then I will always have the correct feelings about things. And as long as I have joy when we do the will of the Lord and show anger and disdain towards the work of the enemy that tries to get us to do evil, Mr. Will have no reason to confuse my voice with that of the conscience. This is how we all work together to fulfill the purpose of the Creator. And before I go, I'd like to comment on something that Mr. Mind talked about last week. He mentioned the great change that he went through the day that the Holy Spirit came to live alongside of us. Well, let me testify that I, Mr. Emotion, went through a great change that day as well. Before the Spirit's coming, I was very distraught. I was bitter, angry, stressed, overwhelmed, guilty, and downright weary. And this was the effect of Mr. Will spending years trying to live life on his own without the power and help of the Holy Spirit. But let me tell you, the moment that Mr. Will surrendered and called out to the Lord, we were brought out of the darkness we were in and into God's marvelous light, and for the first time, we could see clearly. The burdens that held us down were gone and the guilt washed away, and in that instant, my bitter attitude turned sweet, my anger turned into calm, my stress turned into peace, I was no longer overwhelmed with sorrow but with joy, my guilt turned into freedom, and my weariness turned to strength. And as long as Mr. Will and Mr. Mind always remember this day and never get over the victory that the Lord gave us, I will always feel the same about it. That's from Mr. Emotion. And next week you'll hear from Mr. Hart and Will the week after that, or a couple weeks after that. So let's take a look at scripture now as we read Romans chapter 12 and just see some scripture and just things that has to say about our emotions. I just wrote a few points down that the Lord laid on my heart. And as we read Romans 12, I was amazed, like, just how many emotions kind of are referenced, and showing mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without dissimulation in verse 9, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. Verse 15, we'll talk about in a few minutes, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. It's amazing the emotions that God gave us. God gave us emotions for a purpose and for a reason. And sometimes we tend to think, well, I don't want to be over emotional, which is true. You don't want to be overbearing with your emotions. And but it is okay to show emotion sometimes, as long as it's the correct emotion. And we need to not be afraid to do that. So the first point I wrote down is just simply show your emotion. Don't be afraid to show your emotion. For Psalm 27:13 says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And I think that's a perfect, you can see in that one verse alone, I had believed to see your mind, your will, it's your emotions, it's all in action. I no longer was fainting, but because I believed to see the goodness of the Lord, now my spirits are lifted. So you see all of the, right there in that one verse, the emotions, the mind, the will, all working together. If you are grieving, it's okay to grieve. Don't necessarily overdo it. Just to draw attention to yourself and have a woe is me pity party. And yes, say it's something you're going through, the Lord is bringing you through something troubling, a trial, a test, whatever it may be, something troubling in your family or work or whatever it may be. you can have joy in the Lord because he is still good. He's still on the throne. But sometimes you'll have all faith in God and you know he's going to get you through, but your heart is still broken. You don't have to necessarily pour out your heart or give all the details to everyone. We're not meant to do that. But it is okay to show that you are troubled and at the very least let others pray for you. That's what emotions are meant to do. They're not, again, not just, you know, we don't want to just have a woe is me sobbing pity party all day, but it's okay if other people see you're grieving and your closest friends and you know who they are. You can share details about your situation, but sometimes you can't because it's a private thing. But at the very least, it's okay to ask for help because we're made to need each other. If you are excited in your spirit about the things of God, it's okay to express it. It's okay to smile. It's okay to let it out. It's okay to shout. It's okay to sing at the top of your lungs. It's okay to say amen. It's okay to raise your hand in praise. It's okay to cry. If you've got something that's giving you joy, if you're excited about what God has done for you, you know, talking about your salvation, you know, talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it's okay to get emotional about good things and cry tears of joy sometimes. Because that, if you and if you spent time with God and you know in your heart that your heart is clean and you are just full of gratitude for what he has done for you, show it. Maybe sometimes, I don't know, we have joy in our hearts because we are thankful for what God has done, but whether we didn't get enough coffee that morning or what, or not enough sleep or something, we come into church on a day like Resurrection Sunday and our faces are down and our heads are down and we just got too much other stuff on our minds, put it aside. Say, Lord, I want to lay this at your feet today because I just want to have joy in the Holy Spirit. I want to have joy in you and just rejoice in what you've done for me. And that joy is going to be infectious to others. When they realize that you have a reason to rejoice, they will rejoice too. That's why it's very important to share your testimonies. Just let it be known how good God is, what God has done for you. When others rejoice, what God has done for them, I think I have reason to rejoice too, because I see what God has done for them and I realize what God has done for me. And also when you see others and you know that they are going through a hard time, but they're rejoicing in God anyway, you think, if they can do that, I can do that too. Amen. The joy of others through their trials, through their hard times, it's God uses that in other people's lives to say, you know what? God's going to get me through this too, because I know he did it for others. So the first point, show your emotions. It's okay. Second point, emotions are communication. Emotions are communication. And we read in Romans 12, 14 and 15, bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Just looking at verse 14, where it says, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Think about it this way. Even when others do you wrong, don't respond rashly. It's easy to get super emotional in moments like that. And we are filled with rage, filled with anger. How dare they say that to me? How dare they do that to me? Well, we have to stop and we have to understand that when others intentionally do evil to us, they're doing the evil to the Lord. It's not just directed at me. It's an evil that if somebody is directly sinning against you and they're bringing harm to you, it's an evil and it's sin they're doing to the Lord. So in those moments, we have to just stop and let Christ be seen in us. We have to be forgiving. We have to show mercy. And if you have the opportunity to, depending on the situation, show them their guilt, let them know what they did, but use that opportunity to help lead them to repentance. As the scripture says, be angry and sin not. Sometimes it's okay to be angry at sin, It's okay to be angry at the devil, but we have to, when it comes to the goodness of God leadeth to repentance, the Bible says. So when it comes to, you know, somebody treating us wrong, we have to show them mercy. And I understand people need to be corrected sometimes, but it's best to leave that in the hands of God. Be forgiving, be merciful. And if the person is still unremorseful, just let God take care of them. The Bible says, vengeance is mine. Jesus said, I will repay, saith the Lord. Secondly, rejoice with them that rejoice. If it says in 15, be thankful when others are blessed. But don't just be jealous of their blessings. Sometimes it's easy because we're not thinking according to the Holy Spirit. When others give a testimony of this, me, God bestowed this blessing on me, and you know, we hear all kinds of stories from missionaries and things like that, and God has done awesome things for them. Sometimes it's easy to think, well, why doesn't God do that for me, right? What did I do wrong that I don't get God's blessings? Don't be jealous of other people's blessings, but rejoice with them that God took care of them. That was an amazing thing that God did for them, and just trust, God's going to take care of me too. God is always taking care of me. May not be in the same way that God takes care of somebody else, and that's okay. God will give blessings as, you know, as he sees fit, but he will always, always take care of his children. So you don't have to worry about that. Weep with them that weep. If a brother or sister is grieving, don't be arrogant and say, well, I don't know why they don't just trust God, when you have no idea what they are going through. And maybe there's times, like I mentioned, God has allowed you to go through something and brought you through it, and then somebody else comes along, they face the same thing, and you can use your experience to say, I know exactly what you're going through. I have been there. But maybe you haven't been through what they're going through, but you can still say, just talk to me. Share your heart. I'm here to help you bear your burden. I haven't experienced what you've gone through, but just tell me what it's like. I want to know. I want to know what you're going through. And when you do that, don't necessarily have a pity party with somebody and just wallow in woe is me attitude, like I mentioned. But when someone needs you to share in their grief, be there for them so they know that they are not alone. And then you can encourage them, let's bring this to the Lord together. And that will help them to have trust and faith in the Lord. Emotions are communication, and it's okay to share them with each other. Be truthful. This is the third point. Be truthful in your emotions. Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If I have grieved God, I've sinned, and I know it, I shouldn't come to church or be in fellowship with other believers with a fake joy when I know I have not yet confessed that sin. Before I come into the house of God to fellowship with other believers, I must first come to the realization that my sin grieves God, then let it grieve me, and let the guilt overwhelm me and bring me to confession and forsake that sin. Confess it and forsake it before God. Proverbs 28:13 says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Besides, God already knows what's really going on in your heart anyway. So it doesn't matter the kind of what. And I say this because I know I've done this before, and I'm sure we can all relate. Just when we know there's just something that's not right with God, and there's something, maybe it's just I have not spent the time that with God that I should have spent with him, or maybe it's a specific act we did and we know it was wrong, but we don't confess it, and we bury it, and we try to suppress it, and we come to church and we just, you know, we give a show of peace and joy to others so everybody thinks we're okay. We talked about, you know, Mr. Emotion, talked about Mr. Will using him to force a fake emotion. God already knows what's really going on in our heart, so there's no point in trying to mask it. We must confess it and forsake it. And it works the same way. It's just I thought of something. It works the same way in our relationships with people. Sometimes we commit, I don't know, you know, we do something against somebody else and we try to think, and maybe they don't know what we've done or whatever. Try to hide it, try to mask it. And then our relationship with them is broken, kind of like it is with the Lord. And so it's best to just be like, I'm sorry, I did this, and I won't do it again. And then hopefully they'll respond in the right way and be forgiving, but don't try to mask your emotions. And how to have the right emotions. Briefly, Mr. Emotion talked about the end, how he went through the emotional change the day that the Lord saved the soul. And I remember, for me, the day when I got saved, and I know I've given my testimony several times, so I'll spare you all the details, but when I got saved, before it happened, before when I was just under conviction for days on end and weary and just underslept and underfed and overworked in college and work, and people could see it. There was no emotion I could fake to hide it. People saw how weary I was, and it was due to a spiritual battle I was facing and under conviction and fighting it. I know I'm saved, but the Spirit is saying, no, you're not. And I was weary that day that I went into work, went on a break at work, went and asked the Lord to save me, and it blew my mind, literally. And I it was like, is this real? And I prayed and asked God to give me a confirmation scripture just to say, there's nothing, I don't have to doubt this anymore. And I tell you, I went back into work and my spirits were lifted. I had a joy that wasn't there 20 minutes ago. And I felt like I was walking on a cloud, you know. It's one of those moments. And if you've never experienced that, let me just, last week I touched on just the change that the mind went through when they got saved or when the soul was saved. And if you've never experienced that, if that's something that you know in your heart, you've just never had that change. That was something that convicted me, was I've never truly been changed. And I knew I needed to change, and it was I needed to be saved. And accepting Christ as your Savior, we talked about just calling out to Him. It's your will that has to surrender and say, Lord, I need you. Please save me. I am sorry for my sin. I'm sorry and I'm guilty and I cannot save myself. I need you to forgive me and cleanse me. And the Bible says you believe that in your heart. Romans 10, we read last week, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, and with the heart men believeth unto righteousness. And that if thou shalt call upon the name of the Lord, thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
And those of you who are saved, you remember the day. You remember it well, the change you went through. And let us always remember that. Let us not get over our salvation. Always remember, always refresh the testimony in your mind. This is what God did for me. And just briefly, real quick, and as this is Resurrection Sunday, just part of the resurrection story that it's my favorite part is when Mary Magdalene goes to the tomb, and then she brings Peter and John. They come running, and they see he's not there. And then Mary Magdalene's there, and she looks in, and she sees the angels, and they're like, you know, why? Who are you seeking? And then she hears the man behind him. She doesn't know it's Jesus. And he says, who are you looking for? And she thinks he's the gardener. And she says, you know, she's overcome with grief. And think about her, Mary Magdalene. She's the one who Jesus cast out seven devils from. And he made a great change in her life. She has already experienced the joy of that. And now her hope, the man who changed her life, is dead. Imagine how she feels. She's grieving. She's upset. She's probably scared. Are the demons he cast out of me going to come back? I don't know what she's thinking. But then as soon as she says to Jesus, just show me, she thinks he's the gardener, show me where they've laid my Savior. He's gone, and I'll take his body. I'll take care of it. And he just says, Mary. And that was the moment she knew. And she said, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. And she knew it was him. And all of a sudden, picture that joy just come flooding back. My hope is still alive. I don't have to go back to my past life. And that's the way salvation is. When Jesus saved us, we're free from it. We're free from the chains of sin and death. We don't ever, ever, ever have to go back to it. Let's say a word of prayer and we'll be done. Lord, thank you so much just for, again, for this opportunity to hear about our emotions and celebrate Resurrection Sunday. And we pray that if there's anyone here who's maybe never trusted you as their Savior, that's just something new and they don't understand what that means, help them to get an understanding of that today and get that settled today. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.